Please be seated. We are so delighted to have Tricia and David Markoff with us today. It was 2011, the summer of 2011, so that was 6 years ago that we moved into this building, moved out of the place over on Patton Avenue, and the Sunrise community moved right in after us. And it was such a delight to know that the place that we had seen so consecrated by God would continue to do God's work, and that was exciting. But also, you realize, too, that it was 22 years ago today that I stood up at Church of the Redeemer, and it was a bit of a tumultuous day, but 22 years ago today, we made that decision to move into the CEC. So it's kind of an exciting period in time here. But I do want to welcome Tricia. Tricia, please come forward. Blessed is she who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. It's been a blessing to be here today, and I thank you for your invitation to be here this morning. And I'm just going to share from my heart my experiences at Sunrise this morning. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. My husband and I were recently asked to attend a leadership meeting at our church for the purpose of discussing Sunrise. And after thanking us for coming, the first question was, what kind of needs assessment did the founders of Sunrise do in preparation for starting this ministry? So in other words, how did you know that there was a need for a breakfast kitchen in the West Asheville area? So immediately, my thoughts went back to our initial planning meeting. There were 14 of us, and I knew them all, but we were not from the same social circles. We were just a ragtag band of followers who, in our own personal way, were being prompted by the Holy Spirit to serve. And that's what I remember. There was no community needs assessment. There was only a personal needs assessment. We were being prompted to get off the pew and to get out into the community. A friend, David, from David's Auto House, had mentioned at a church meeting that 1543C Patton Avenue was going to be available for rent as Church of the Resurrection, after 15 years of occupancy, was moving out. The possibility of, by word of mouth and by invitation, 14 of us came together one day after church to discuss the possibility of what would it be like to open a soup kitchen. And immediately, we were on board. Two of the 14 individuals were businessmen, used car dealers. And they suggested that for $3,000, we could open a soup kitchen that would feed a large number of people. Now realize we were taking the existing kitchen that was there and transforming it into a kitchen that could feed a large number. And so they said $3,000, and it seemed reasonable to me, but the Lord must have been smiling. Because 5 months and $70,000 later, we were ready to receive our first diners. How much should we borrow? Nothing. How much should we ask our church to extend us out of their budget? Nothing. How much did we owe upon opening the door? Nothing. Through donations of resources and raw materials, kitchen equipment, and professional services, plus a miraculous, unexpected grant, Sunrise Community Outreach opened its door with money in the bank. So Willing Hands, a very loose plan, and a commitment to serve. That's all it took. From that moment forward, we stood in awe as we witnessed the Lord fulfilling his promises to us. We experience God and continue to experience God fulfilling all our needs according to his glorious riches. I love how David Platt in his book Radical puts it. It's a rock solid promise that the resources of heaven are ready and waiting for the people of God who long to see his power at work and who love to see his purposes accomplished. He will give us absolutely everything we need according to his very presence in us. And 6 years of serving, I can tell you I have personally experienced God taking care of our needs in ways never imagined. And we stand in awe as we see our bank account decline to sometimes an uncomfortable level, only to experience perhaps an unsolicited donation come our way that fills our bank account back up. Now, I can't say that we don't have needs. We certainly have needs. We always have needs. Our bus is running on faith at the moment. They call it a Band-Aid upon a Band-Aid is running the bus. Our sign looks pitifully sad right now. And I used to worry on Saturday mornings if we would have enough volunteers. I would get anxious and worried. And lo and behold, people who I had never called and never expected would bring friends or relatives, and they would come through the door saying, "Do you need volunteers?" And I can tell you that for a person who has to have all her ducks in a row, I have learned to let those ducks go because God had it. I stand in awe every week as I see him just fulfill our needs. And it's such a beautiful place to be. And so when the big issues like the bus comes, God will fulfill our needs. And when God wants us to close the soup kitchen, God will close the soup kitchen because it's his. And I don't have to worry about what direction we're going or what God is. I'm just in his hands following his plan. Operating Sunrise, it's amazing and it's incredibly affirming. But I can't say that it doesn't come without challenges. We serve 10,000 breakfasts a year. That means we serve a lot of personalities. Many of our diners are, they're polite, they're gracious, they're thankful, they're friendly, they're affirming. But others come with challenges. We serve the rude. We serve the mentally ill. We serve those with strong body odor, alcoholics, abusers, drug addicts, and more. And some weeks we have inappropriate behavior. We have stealing. We have fighting and arguments. All of the above. And sometimes it's not a week, I have a week where I don't walk away feeling all warm and fuzzy inside. But then I remind myself, serving is not about me. It's not about my feelings. Serving others is about asking God to work in me and through me. And somehow that through my very flawed self, I can reflect the love of Christ. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 10 says, "If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your darkness will be as the noonday." But even though I face challenges and continue to face challenges, I've had some really beautiful, heartwarming experiences, and I've become very endeared to some of the diners. Some of the diners that we serve now are the original that have started 6 years ago, and so we always notice if they're there or if they're not there. And then there are those that started with us who we wonder, I wonder where so-and-so went. I wonder what's up with so-and-so. And we have our new diners that we work to establish a relationship with, because that's what it's all about, right? Touching, being present, knowing their name, having a relationship with the diners. One of the first confrontational experiences I had was with a man named Edwin. He was just plain rude. And he caused a big ruckus at his table. And somehow I got called over to the table to get involved in the ruckus. And he wanted only coffee. He wouldn't, just coffee, because he wouldn't eat that stuff if he had to that we were serving. He would never touch it. So we gave him coffee. And somehow I got involved in his obstinate behavior. And we ended up going outside, face to face, outside on the front porch. Everyone could see us. We were outside of the window, and he was in my face, and I was a little bit in his face. And he was challenging me. And we ended up in a very ridiculous conversation. Now, don't judge me, but I'm going to tell you the story. So he told me that if I was a good Christian lady, I would buy him a bus ticket so he could get out of there. And I said, well, I am a good Christian lady, and I'm going to say, get a job and buy your own ticket. Now, I've never said that since, but I don't know, maybe the Holy Spirit prompted me to say that. That is what I said. And the conversation got more and more heated, not in a bad way, just kind of a rat-a-tat back and forth. And I asked him his name, and he said, my name is Jesus. Very, not very nice, as he said it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to call you Bob. So our dear security guard was keeping an eye on us, some other people getting very nervous about this exchange. My husband was watching, and because he knows me well, was not concerned at all. Finally, after getting nowhere in our conversation, Edwin looked at me and he said, I like you. And our friendship began. Edwin shared his journey and his pain. We shared his birthday, Easter. We shared his birthday with him and Easter at our home, and hiking and outings and picnics. And it wasn't long after I got to know Edwin that he took me aside in the kitchen. He said, I have something to show you. He pulled I didn't even know his name at the time, Bob. He pulled out a piece of paper and he showed it to me, and he's like, it's my first pay stub. And he was so proud of it, and I was so proud of him. And I had nothing to do with that, but I just felt so honored that he would share that with me, that exciting moment in his life. And we really did become very good friends with Edwin, and then one day he left. So we often think of Edwin, and we pray that he's doing well. He's just one of the chapters in the book of why I love working at the soup kitchen. Every morning we begin with a worship thought. It's just a small worship thought. But there are certain diners who come just to share in that small time where we can talk about what Jesus is doing and can do for them in their lives. We've also been blessed to have members of this congregation come and share their musical talents. And the beautiful music does definitely set a worshipful tone throughout breakfast. The diners love it. Sometimes they have requests. They sing along. It's a beautiful thing, and we greatly appreciate that. And look forward to the next time when you all can come. So The other thing we do is we place out laminated Bible promise cards. So I go through and pick out Bible promises that may or may not be meaningful to a particular individual, and we laminate them and we put them out on the tables. And it's very, very common to see the diners come in the morning, and the first thing they do is pick up the Bible promise cards. There are four on a table, and they'll rotate around and look at the Bible promise cards. We encourage them, if that is something that touches their heart, to take those cards. And I stay very busy producing Bible promise cards, so I love that. I even had someone come to me with a 3x5 card, and he said, "This," or maybe he came to me with his Bible, and he said, "This is my favorite Bible verse. Would you put it on a card and laminate it for me so I can carry it in my wallet?" So I'd like to think that it makes some sort of impact on their lives and maybe encourages them at a time where they're feeling particularly low. And the other thing is, it's very such a privilege for us to be called on at a time where the diners may be in distress. Maybe they've lost someone. Recently there was a shooting and a death in one of the communities, and it really shook up many of the diners that were present, very upset when they came in. And so, you know, they call us over and say, "Could you pray with so-and-so? They're having a really rough day." And, you know, what a privilege it is to be called over and to be part of something that might just bring some sort of peace to their lives, allowing Christ just to send His Holy Spirit and influence their peaceful state of mind. One morning, though, I was doing my best to serve coffee, but as often the case, I get pulled in a lot of directions. It's not good to give me a job because I'll get pulled here and pulled there, and then I'm like, "Oh, I'm supposed to be serving that table." So they try not to give me a job. I'm not a great multitasker. So as often as the case, I got pulled off, and a man approached me, and he said, "Please serve my girlfriend." He said, "She's getting mad. We've asked you several times to pour us coffee, and she thinks that you're not serving her because she's an Indian." And I was like, because I, of course, that never crossed my mind, but I had been pulled away, and I hadn't served her. So I was horrified, and I turned to rectify the situation with her, and they had left the building, and I saw them leaving in the parking lot. So I followed after them. I thought, I've got to talk to this person. I cannot let them leave believing that that was the case. I did not serve her. So as I'm walking after the couple, the boyfriend was walking the girlfriend, and he kept doing this to me, like, "Go away. Don't come. Don't mess with her. Go away." And he was scooting me back, and I thought, I am not going away. And so I just kept following them, and I followed them all the way to their car, and she was already in the car. And I walked up to her, and I said, "Could I please talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "I am so sorry that I forgot to serve you." And I, of course, got all teary-eyed. This was very emotional for me. And so she got out of the car, and I explained to her the situation. And she said, "Oh, honey," she said, "I just want to let you know." She said, "I had a really rough night." She said, "Last night someone came to me in the early morning hours and asked for drugs." And she said, "So I had a really rough night, and I'm just in a bad place." And she hugged me. I hugged her back, and I said, "Can I have prayer with you?" And so we prayed, and it turned out to be really a beautiful bonding situation. And now we hug every time we see each other, and we love each other, and I look forward to seeing her, and as well as her boyfriend. And I just thank the Lord for those type of opportunities where, again, I can share His love with others, even as very flawed as I am. Because if I wasn't, I would not have forgotten to serve her coffee that morning. Christ has called us to love all. And in some capacity, He served. Isn't He our example? As we look through the Gospels, it clearly reveals He was a servant of all servants. He reached out to the broken, the unlovely, to the sunrise diners of His day. Ephesians 2:10 says that in our union with Christ Jesus, He's created us for a life of good deeds, which He has already prepared for us to do. One of our dear, dear friends at the kitchen, his name was Roger, and he'd been incarcerated most of his adult life for many, many years due to murder. It's a very complicated story. He was very clear that he actually deserved to be there. He loved to tell us stories about prison, about his life in prison. He'd received some degrees from there, actually, so he had some college education. And one of his favorite stories he liked to tell is how he liked to work in the lab. And my husband said, "Well, Roger, why did you like to work in the lab at the prison?" He said, "That's where the tunnel started." He actually did escape from prison several times and was recaptured. But he had changed his life. He was a very gentle spirit. And Roger got sick, and we were with him, watching him as he progressed. And, you know, in the end, he didn't have a lot of family and friends that came to his side and to his aid. And when he passed away, at sunrise, we were able to get together some of his friends and have a memorial service for Roger at the kitchen. So that was just another incredible opportunity that God opened up for us. My heart is with Sunrise, and I just encourage you to come and experience it with me. I know many of you here have, but for those of you who haven't, I just encourage you to come and experience it with me. And if you're uncomfortable in that type of setting, which is understandable, there are other ways to serve. One of your members has provided warm winter hats. That's always a great need, and we appreciate that. We need used coats. We need used blankets. We need new men's and women's underwear. That is a very big need. We need gloves. We have lots of requests for sleeping bags. And at Christmas, we have a sock drive. So on the Saturday before Christmas, we can provide each of our diners with a sock bag that, of course, says Sunrise Community Outreach. We can't get our name out there enough. And we ask various church members, so I'm coming to you this morning, to place either three men's or three women's pair of socks in each bag along with a dollar. The dollar helps us cover the cost of the bags. So I'm going to leave some bags here. Doesn't matter if you choose men or women or choose to participate. I'll go through. Usually they're tagged, but I didn't have time to tag them. But I'll go through and I'll put a pink or blue tag on them accordingly. If you want to put a little tag on there saying men's or women or a piece of masking tape, that'd be great too. So I'm just going to leave some. If you choose to participate in that, we would love it. We serve anywhere from about the first Saturday of the month is the lowest Saturday, and we serve 170 to 190 that week. And our higher weeks are anywhere up from 2 to 250. So we want to be prepared to have at least 250 bags of socks to send out so we can be prepared for everyone who comes. And it's okay if we have leftover socks because there's a huge need. And every week people come to me in the winter in flip-flops or with holes in their shoes, or they just don't have access to the washing machine and they need new socks. So, or wet feet. So we have a huge need you know how it is when your feet are cold, you're cold. So there's a huge need for socks, and I'm just reaching out to you and letting you know that is an opportunity. I could have made a list of 100 ways to serve God. And if I'd been asked to place them in numerical order, working in the homeless would be dead last. Absolutely. Because like many, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home that was completely destroyed by substance abuse. So I ran from dysfunction and ended up serving God in a breakfast kitchen. I'm not sure why God chose that ministry as my ministry, but I do know it has changed my life in a very substantial way. And to be in the will of God and to watch Him work in a mighty way is an incredible gift. I challenge you to find your service, the service that God is calling you to do. Open your hearts and your hands to His calling, and you will never, ever regret your decision.
Thank you.